to C3 Church Hepburn Heights. We believe Jesus Christ gives life to the full, and we are called to live it and share it. We pray you enjoy this message today.
You have great pastors, correct? If I go that to another church, occasionally there's three people clapping their hands, so you're doing well. Great to be with you. And before we get into it, I'm going to keep my keyboardist up here, which is good. But I just love to see my older brother who's in the service today. So good to see you again. Just good to see him again. I haven't seen him for a number of years, but it's good to get over here and catch up. But it's good. He's looking good for his age, though. Really good. It's great. Yeah, I've always loved this. You know, I've always thought if I ever lived in WA, I'd come to this church. There's nothing wrong with the other ones. But to me, it's just, it carries the essence of what we're about. And I don't think, you know, in life, you know, I get invited to a lot of places and get to minister and our movement and beyond around the world, which is a privilege. To be able to do that with my wife over the years is always fun. We enjoy our journey together. I've got a great wife who puts up with a lot more than she should. But to me, it's a team, and that's what I've loved about, I guess, Pastor Jason and Em, and knowing them over the years, and also Ben and Karen and the team who I've got to know. But you have exceptional people. And they're exceptional people not just because they're good people. They're godly people. And they exhibit, I think, what kingdom is all about. We are a movement, but that's not exclusively what we're about. We're about the kingdom. I'd love you to close your eyes. This is Pentecost Sunday. As I said, I don't believe that I've come here on the basis of, well, there's no other date in the calendar that's going to fit, Greg. Could you do this one? No, I always believe that the Lord leads every step. And Lord, I thank you for the privilege to be able to speak to this wonderful church. I thank you for the history that Julie and I have had over the years with John and Di and other team members over the years. But Lord, I want to capture the moment. I want to thank you, Jesus, for what you have done, how much you have given. Father, I thank you that you are a father who wants the very best for us. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are with us in this house today. For the Father said yes. The Son said, I will give my all. And the Holy Spirit says, I am with you. We are so thankful, Lord, for what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will continue to do. And today we remember that your church was wonderfully birthed in this act known as Pentecost. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you lead. You'll guide every thought, every action, every word which is spoken. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are with us. Thank you, Lord. For the faithfulness of my people. For the commitment in which they have served and so faithfully walked through the challenges, the moments, the transitions, the exchange. Your faithfulness has been seen, your faithfulness has been heard. Your faithfulness is seen and heard beyond the walls of this house. Some have looked at the season and the time in which they have walked through in recent years, and have asked, where was God For I was there. For I saw what was coming. I saw which I knew and understood would not be a moment in time and history to ever be repeated again. For the purpose and the reason of why is simply that I want my church to be awake, would rise, would begin to be all that I have given it and empowered it. For I have given much through my Son. I outwork much through the Holy Spirit. Do not limit me. Do not remove from me that which you have so faithfully done with praise, with honor. But understand, there is coming something far greater than this world has known. Are you prepared? Are you aware? Are you positioned for that which you will see? I have much to demonstrate and show that this world is not forgotten. And every person in which has been given life, I call out to, from their beginning to their end, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. We thank you, Lord, that in your house we can gather. Your presence is evident in this place, Lord, through the worship, through the moments, the pause. But Lord, the faithfulness of this house has been acknowledged by you. And in Jesus' name, at that name in which everything will bow down, shall acknowledge that Jesus, you are the way and the truth and the life. Amen. What happened there? I guess it within my gifting, you know, when you talk as prophecy or as a prophet, talking in season, times, moments, and events, I could speak from a picture in which an image in which I start to see. Is it like a cinema? No. But it's enough to see the possibility of things. It's like pictures, visions, images. I could speak and prophesy with the understanding of words which come to me and put them together. I'm not a pre-prepared person. I guess I like to be a man of faith. I don't like to prepare too much, even though I get a lot of thoughts in my heads and leave it up to the Lord when I'm in the moment. And I could speak a word, and I'm about to speak a word over your pastors. But what happened with that other thing, that third person thing? That's just, what would God say and how would he say it? Prophecy and the gifts, and I know you've been traveling this year through the gifts of the Spirit, walking through Corinthians, I think 11, 12 and 13. So wonderfully well. And here, we were here in February visiting, which is great. And I heard Pastor Ben, which I hadn't heard speak for years. Brilliant job. But it's the maturity and the maturing of your leaders. Watching Pastor Jason and Em over the years and their wonderful family grow into exceptional people. Knowing many people I can see in this audience who I've known for years growing in Christ. Your faithfulness comes out of a choice not to stop, but to grow. We have that wonderful opportunity, as I said, like as Pentecost Sunday. And it's quite, it's somewhat sad in a way, because we've learnt and understood the importance of Christmas and the birth of Christ, bringing something new, bringing the opportunity of life. Then Easter, the death, the platform of the opportunity of allowing humanity to find its way forward by accepting Jesus, and the resurrection. But we forget about Pentecost, because it was the beginning of the birthing of community called the church. Pentecost means 50. And it's interesting, around that same time, around that, there were the festivals of weeks, the festivals of first fruit. All of these things are around this moment. But the power of that in itself was simply, for us, was the moment when the church was birthed upon a group of people who were told, wait, don't you love that? Not like, I'm telling you now, he'll be here in about an hour and 20 minutes. Jesus didn't say, he said, wait for the promise and the gift the Father has given. You can read it in the Word of God. Your scholars, if you don't know, come to Bible college and they'll help you. But the whole concept of the person of the Holy Spirit, Jesus spoke so clearly about it, and I'll read a scripture to you, because you might say, Pastor Greg, I didn't hear any scripture. But John 16, verses 5 right through to 15. I won't read it all, but I'll draw it to your attention. It says there, and this is Jesus talking to the disciples. But now I'm going away to the one who sent me. And not one of you is asking me, where are you going? Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. I look at that sometimes, and we hear things and we are caught on the downside, not the possibility. Because the moment captures us, because we're caught on a trigger word, a moment of challenge, but we lose sight of the possibility. The Holy Spirit was given to us because of the possibility. Not to get caught in that moment. Jesus was saying simply this, don't get stuck here. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away. Jesus is saying, it is good that I go away. I haven't deserted you, but I need to go through this process. Because if I don't, the advocate, the comforter won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment upon those who do not know him. Continue on through that scripture. There is so much I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. You see, the Holy Spirit was very much a part of the plan of how God had set this up. He understood the importance that our humanity, our understanding, our being caught in the moment, our inability to see beyond the moment, is that we would need to be empowered to see beyond the moment. There is so much I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into the truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me, all that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. Now I'm going to move down, because as much as I could talk, a lot of what the Holy Spirit was about demonstration. I love that we see in the book of Genesis, it says in the beginning, you know, God was there, he started creating, but it says, and the Spirit was moving. But if you read it correctly in Genesis, the Spirit was moving, then God spoke. Then things were created. Then things were brought into order. I find that fascinating. You see, so often we're waiting for God to move when he said, I need the Spirit of God to move. But how do we move the Spirit of God? By one simple act of faith. One step. He's waiting for you. Lord, God, we're just waiting. Lord, whatever. We're here, we're wherever. I know you're there. But we're still here. I know you're still there. But when? I don't know. I'm waiting for you. Oh, Lord, yes. Then the word came. Then the action started to take place. Then things began to change. You see, church, we are so dependent upon Christ changing our life. Thank the Lord. An act in which there is a response to say yes to Jesus. You can know all about Jesus. You can read of all the books about Jesus. You can have read the Bible 32 times about everything about God, but still not say yes to Jesus. You have the knowledge, but you won't have the life that was promised. What has the Holy Spirit got to do with this? A lot. We hear things through our natural ears and understanding and intellect. Now we don't understand it. The Holy Spirit has come to bring understanding. Read it in the scripture. He is here to bring the clarity, the assurance, the confidence. And when he comes, he will move, then God will speak. He will move, and when God speaks, there is action. Pastor Jason M., I'd love you to stand. Now, should I stand on the stage and the Lord would say, no, I won't. Because I don't think that's how he actually acts. He's more a little bit more personal. Holy Spirit's like, oh, let's have a big cuddle first. Then we'll have a chat. That's how God works. Doesn't like, and you. Now, sometimes I'm a little bit like that because that's my personality. I say, stand. And then my wife says, say, please. And I feel like the Holy Spirit is in that word. I don't want to say, please, just stand. Love that. Your faithfulness has been acknowledged. The church's faithfulness has been acknowledged. And can I tell you, I'm speaking a word to a couple which resonates and travels beyond this couple into the body of believers here. I saw that scripture. I have spoken this before. The wonderful stories of Mark. I asked Jason here today and I recalled him seeing this last night when we had dinner. Like 11 years. But then when I was sitting in the front, it's funny what happens in worship. Don't undervalue by being in worship. You see, worship is the platform and the place of preparedness. It breaks up the ground that you can hear that the Holy Spirit now has freedom to speak with the clarity. Mark 5, we know the story. Jesus delivers a man, incredible. Things take place, comes back over. He has an encounter with a religious leader by the name of Jairus. He has an encounter with a woman who has been hemorrhaging for 12 years. He has an encounter with Jairus, an official, a leader, a religious man, totally opposed to who he is because all of these individuals were highly opposed to who Jesus was. But he had a need. His daughter lay dying. what God will do in your life in the coming 3 years will astound you, because he will bring change to your circumstances in life in a way you cannot do yourself. And it shall travel into your children in a way which will bring life, will bring an incredible new generation of understanding, and will also plant them back permanently in the house in the way in which he intended for them. Coming back, I get distracted easily. Ask my wife. You said last night 11 years. You told me this morning 11 years. This woman had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. She was losing life. Her strength and energy was she was leaking life. She tried everything. Till she comes to Jesus. Jairus had run out of options. He gives up all of his former religious understanding and belief because his daughter meant more than his religious understanding. And Jesus seemed to be the one. There was word on the street that this guy had something. 12 years is the making of what occurred to a woman who was lacking life, but life came. For 12 years of age, that a young life was taken, but found the power of resurrection. You shall be stepping into a season where the resurrection power of God shall come into the house at a new way and a new level. It shall not come through the uniqueness of ministry alone. It shall come because his presence is acknowledged. And it shall come through worship. It shall come through a simple point of agreement. But it shall come and it shall begin. And you'll begin to see that which will occur in this house, in which many have said, we have prayed, we have believed, yet we have not seen. We have lost so many loved ones. Yet something has begun. Because this 12th year shall bring a life in which this church has never seen in its history. It shall begin small, but it shall increase. Resurrection shall see that which seemed to have no life, even death, and those who are so far from being in the house in relationship with him come back, because he has walked to them and brought them back to the house. Your faithfulness has been noted and acknowledged. And he is so thankful because of that and for what you have done, for that which you have sown. You will see well beyond your understanding or expectation in the years to come. Do not underestimate the power of your voice, the power of your prayer, by bringing a new way. Because we are in a new expression and season and chapter in his kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen. Stay, be seated when you think it is completed. Chase and I were just talking last night, and have been again recently, just about the power of ministry and how when you prayed, you know, the old Pentecostal way is pray, and the impartation has happened when someone's laid out on the carpet. I think we lost our way, as the carpet's got nothing to do with it. I know I've prayed for people who have fallen over, but the reality is they've fallen over to escape from me. Not necessarily an impartation. Fascinating. We may add ourselves or do the numbers by the years. You're still looking very beautiful. Amen. I think, again, and has this been hashed out a million times? Probably. Your greatest days are still before you. Some of the greatest things in what you have prayed and believed and stood for, yet you have not seen, you will see. And it will surprise you and go, that wasn't that hard. I just prayed. It wasn't really punchy or powerful, delayed or lengthy. And God will act upon it. Because it's the faithfulness of this house. as the faithful of this house. I love that. I love walking. I love strolling amongst the people. I think Jesus did this way. He spoke a couple of times at the synagogue up on the platform. Most of the time he just walked amongst the people. Close your eyes. I have wept. I have stood with you. I have embraced. And I continue to stand. And for that which you have not seen, you will see my hand working, slowly but surely. For that which has been taken and stolen from you, I shall ensure it is returned beyond what has been stolen and taken. His love for you is far greater. You may say, I love you, Lord. But you can never outlove his love for you, because it is far greater than any of us can understand. Challenges in which we face, part of life. It's our confidence that he doesn't forget. It's been preached a million, trillion times, but it's a word we must always be reminded of daily. He will never leave us, nor shall he ever forsake us or our families, irrespective of what may be happening. The New Testament, perfect. The New Testament, and I love the word testament because it's a statement of belief. It means a statement of belief. It also means like a will, a legacy, something which is to be passed on, to be carried on. Jesus was the testator. He was one who was leaving the legacy. Now, hold that in its right context. Let's not have a theological debate right now. I've got 12 minutes, please. But the New Testament, it's the legacy. Something has to die before something new starts. There was 400 years between the Old and the New Testament, correct? Some of you are not sure. It doesn't matter. Just trust me. I'm going to adjust that. Correct me. Probably Ben's the theological giant who always questions my scripture. But I have the confidence that Jason, doesn't matter, Greg. Go for it. Thank you, Pastor Jace. I love how uniquely we made up, right? I love this. But in that, I think it's 433 years. And the Gospels aren't the beginning of the New Testament, because the one who brought the revelation of what was wasn't because of his birth. It started at his birth, but it had to be completed at his death. Historians believe with me, so I'm not bringing some revelation out of the middle of nowhere. Have done my homework. But in there, so that means the death, but the ascension, that Jesus had done everything. We heard in the book of John, you need this other guy, HG. We need HG. Sounds better than HS. HG. We need him. But that means if the books are right, have been written in some order and historically when they have been written, but how they've been positioned would then say that the book of Acts is the beginning of a new testimony to be written. Interesting. So the book of Acts is a whole new way of doing things. The gospel stand alone in a new beginning, but the releasing of the purpose happens from the book of Acts into the future. Get ready for what God will do you. Within 18 months, you will see changes in your own personal life, which will even challenge you, but you must respond to the unctions and the word. It will not be screamed at you. It'll be upon the action by choice of listening. Prayer may not be something that you have mastered yet. Hello, join the club. We're all in that place, so don't worry. But as you push in, everyone benefits. Be the man. Show her, but be the man. And you are a good man. Gee, I would have thought it could have been a bit more depth or meat in that word. No, that's good enough. Maybe you ran out of thoughts or ideas. I don't run out of thoughts of ideas if I'm in the Holy Spirit. You have a conversation with me. Jason starts to yawn and fall asleep when I'm just opening up in my introductions. Never short of a word, I can assure you. New Testament, Book of Acts, Genesis, there you go. Genesis 1, verses 1 to 3, fascinating. In the beginning, God created. The Spirit's moving, then God speaks, and then stuff happens. See this movement. But who's the mover? Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, part of the body of Christ has pushed down the importance of the person of the Holy Spirit. What I love about this church, why I would come to this church, I love your pastors, no problems about that. I love them. They're friends. They're people. Love that. Know Nicole forever. I don't know a lot of you a long time. Love Cherry. Oh, you're almost as been around as long as the Messiah. That's a compliment. Because she's still looking great like he is, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Got out of that one. See, at this moment you go, now, where do we go from here? No idea. Well, I'm just going to take a step of faith and bounce out. There we go. Genesis and the book of Acts. God created, started all. In the book of Acts, you see, movement started things. When there was movement, the Holy Spirit was hovering. Then God spoke, but he was hovering. He was moving. Hovering has movement. One of the translators, and God moved. No, the Holy Spirit moved. What happens in the book of Acts? Then suddenly, things started to move. But where were they all together? You see, the power of the New Testament compared to the old is simply this. That hung out together in fear after the death of Christ. But they hung together. When Jesus appeared to them, they stayed together and they multiplied together. And when there was 120 of them, it must have been a crowded space. But in that moment, and then movement came into the house. And things which had not been seen or spoken of well before, until the time and the moment of experience of Moses with the burning bush, had they ever seen anything like this. It is the beginning of a new season for us as a church. We have to be ready. A lot of you have heard me say this over the years, maybe, because some of you might even not have been born when I first came here. And even when I came here, I'm pretty sure I didn't have any hair then. So I'm still looking pretty much the same, just a little bit more wrung out. But the fact is that in all of this, the Holy Spirit wants us to be on the front foot. Just one little step. I have hair envy just looking at you. I get distracted in the spirit. Sorry, Lord, I didn't mean it, but if I had hair like that, man, I could do something serious. That's just an attraction on top of a man's head. Incredible. Come back here. Where are you? Here. Hepburn Heights. Padbury. Bear with me. You're saying he's lost again. Probably. No, the Holy Spirit for us, taking that step, just taking that little step, just comes back to one thing for me. And we're going to close the service in just a moment. But I'm going to have an altar call. And so I know those little people out there will be like, let me out! Time. They need to get out. See mum and dad. Have something to eat. But if you want to hang around, it's not going to go on for hours. Sorry. We don't do it the old way because the old way has come and gone. I'm in the New Testament. I'm actually in the book of Acts. Suddenly. And it's not like I'm praying for something. No, we're going to stand in the presence of God. And you know what we're going to do? And maybe healing you need. Maybe could be whatever. Could be emotional. Could be mental. Could be physical. Could be provisional. Could be relational. Just come and stand on the altar. Moses built four altars. One was praise. One was prayer. One was peace. And one was provision. What you'll be stepping onto and into will be a place of agreement with him through the person of the Holy Spirit. Agreeing, I agree. My body will start to resound with the name of Jesus, and every cell will have the imprint of that name upon it. Good imagery? Hold it. Hold that imagery. My family are not together. They are struggling. Come forward and stand on the altar in agreement that they come with you. Visualize them walking to the front with you. You see, provision, we've always gone dollars. No. The last altar, the most significant altar in which Abraham built, was the altar of provision. And he didn't see it would just be multiplying the cows, the calves, the whatever. He saw that God would provide in every area of his life. I want you to step on that altar. We have children outside. If you need to go, totally respect that. Doesn't mean that you're in or out. It will mean you're out of the building, not in the building, but you know what I'm saying. And you'll still get that. But we're not going to drag this service on. But I don't want to miss a God moment. Those 120, there were some who didn't quite make it to the upper room. Some, just through their disappointment, had walked away. But Jesus was faithful in bringing them back. So love that. So love that. So love that. In just a moment, I will close the service by ensuring that everybody in that place, in this house, can honestly say, Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior. And then we have that connection, that interaction, that decision, that step of faith to say, Jesus, step into my life. Your journey is beginning in a whole new way in your life. And every aspect of your life has been noted, sighted, and seen. Every stone has been turned in your life. And he has chosen to turn every single one of them so that you know he cares about the small challenges, personal conflict, and areas that you have found overwhelming. Because he has turned them to see what's on the inside, to turn them over again, to polish the stone of the possibility in who he is in your life. I don't know where you are in your relationship with Jesus. Have no idea. only person I know is probably myself and my wife, Jason M. They look pretty good. Ben and Karen look pretty good. But I don't know where people are at unless I get a word of knowledge. Holy Spirit tells me. But he's not telling me anything in this area. You all look good. You all look great. Even my brother, you look fantastic. But I don't honestly know where you are in your relationship with Jesus. So to close just this part of the service, I would like every opportunity and every possibility to be before you. But it starts by just taking one little step. As soon as you step, as soon as there is movement, God will speak. God will start putting into place and things will happen. But it starts with that decision. I'd love you to close your eyes. As I said, I don't know where you are in your relationship with Jesus. But you see, Jesus knows everything. This is your moment in your life to acknowledge where he sits in that equation. So in just a moment, I'm going to ask people, if you've never known Jesus, never said, Jesus, step into my life. You've heard all about church and God and Jesus, but never said, Jesus, step into my life. I'm going to ask you in just a moment to raise your hand. And by raising your hand, I will see it. But more importantly, he will see it. It's your act of faith, that step. Jesus, here I am. And we're all going to pray a prayer which says, Jesus, step into my life. Or maybe you have known him. Maybe you're still around church. But if you're honest with yourself, you're not in that relation. You've stepped away from that relationship. You're just going through the motion. I'd love you to raise your hand, not to me, but to him. And as soon as you raise your hand, he will see it. And he will say yes and amen. Then we will all pray this prayer together. So if you've never asked Jesus in your life, or if you have and you've stepped away, I want you to raise your hand. Say, Pastor Greg, that is me here today. Just lift it up really high. And you're not raising it to me. You're raising it to him by simply acknowledging, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. There are other people here today just wondering, never wonder, be 100% assured. Thank you, sir. Thank you, madam. There's three other people wondering whether you should raise your hand. That is your decision. But he has. Thank you. Thank you very much. They are on my left. The two other people are on my left. Your decision, but I will close this. Thank you very much. That other person. Waiting. It's not a negative experience. It's a wonderful opportunity. And those people who raised your hand, just raise it one more time. Now look at me. Thank you, son. Just look at me. I want to tell you, he saw your hand. 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 He saw your hand, madam. He saw your hand, son. He saw your hand. I'm here to reassure you that he saw your hand. Oh, he's so calling out. To Jeff. Father, I thank you. We're all going to pray a prayer in just a moment. And we're all going to agree with those people who have prayed there, who've raised a hand. We're going to pray this prayer in agreement. that Jesus is the Lord of our life, all of us. And we're going to embrace this day as the church was birthed in that moment of time, a new beginning. Let's embrace that today, all of us. Can we all stand? Close your eyes. As those people have raised their hand, I want all of us to raise our hands. Just an acknowledgement. Just lift it up as like, here I am. I want to be seen. And Jesus, you will see our hand, our heart, and our love for you by praying this simple prayer. Repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I give you my life so that I may be known by you. And today, Lord, I accept you as my Lord, my Savior, and my future. I am forgiven, I am saved, and I am one with you. In Jesus' name.
Thanks so much for joining us here on our podcast. We encourage you to let this word further help you live and share the life to the full that Jesus gives. If you want to check out more about our upcoming events, service times, locations, or to give online, go to c3hh.com.au.